Right, welcome to the first edition of the Acme Packing Company podcast, everyone. With it being draft week, I thought we'd do a little bit of a draft preview here to get us kicked off for the 2011 season. So it's this is Tex here. We've got Brandon on board here tonight, too.
Good evening.
And I guess we'll kind of jump right into it here. First thing I kind of wanted to discuss was the major positions of need as identified by us, the writers, and you, the APC community. The big ones, as you probably can imagine, offensive line, especially left tackle with Chad Clifton getting up there in age. And then front seven, pass rushers. We definitely need a compliment to Clay Matthews on the outside. And then with what looks like the impending departure of Cullen Jenkins, probably a good 3-4 end there.
Have you done a poll or on by position? I just did one this morning on with a few names in mind, but I don't know. I was wondering if you had some sort of poll as far as positions, like from the community.
Well, we got the series of position articles earlier this off season. Kind of analyzing whether a given position was a need or not, as opposed to, you know, what to target early in the draft, that sort of thing. We haven't really gotten any input out there for that.
Yeah, I was looking at that poll for this morning, and so now 47% went with the offensive tackle, mm-hmm. Derek Sherrod from Mississippi State, who I actually selected in my mock draft, mm-hmm. for the through mockingthedraft.com, and I'm just going there right now to check and see if my second round pick got posted, because I made that a couple days ago, but it's a few day drag.
Mm-hmm. Before yeah, it definitely seems from that poll that people don't see running back as much of a need compared to the other positions we mentioned, you know, with Michael Ashore only getting about 7% of the vote.
Yeah, so. I wonder if it had been like Mark Ingram and he was legitimately, mm-hmm. going to slip down that far, I wonder what the poll would look like, yeah. in that situation. But, how familiar were you with – I was partly because Illinois did not exactly get a lot of Big Ten – exposure, mm-hmm. as far as I was paying attention. I mean, right. I was not as familiar with LeSure as I was with other players in the Big Ten.
Yeah, LeSure's a big power back. I mean, he's I think he's pretty thick in the bottom. You know, big sturdy legs, and he can kind of power through the line. Kind of he seems to me to be a smaller, quicker kind of a John Clay, and just a better overall skill set. At least that was my impression, as seeing him a couple times. But again, Wisconsin didn't play Illinois this year, and you know, being a Badger fan, I am. You know, generally, I'm following the Badger games more so than the rest of the conference. But yeah, I mean, I think if there was a possibility of trading down into the second round, or if he was there, you know, maybe mid to late second round, I could see Thompson moving up to grab him, and I think that might be a good place for it. But if it were me, I'd say we need to, you know, focus on one of the other major major needs beforehand.
Yeah, I don't really have a good feel for what they want to do with Brandon, mm-hmm. Jackson,
right,
or whether he's going to want to come back. Mm-hmm. I was responding to a comment, a little off topic, but I was responding to a comment from Mitchell today about Matt Flynn, who I think some team is going to give him an opportunity to at least compete for a starting job.
I completely agree with you there.
And I think, you know, money aside, you know, I think he's going to want to take that chance. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think the Packers are going to pay him starter money to be a backup. And someone's going to give him, and probably, you know, maybe an incentive-laden contract or something, or at least the opportunity to, you know, get a big-time contract.
Yep.
So, I think he's, and I've read that elsewhere, that he's going to probably be traded, not before the draft, because they can't trade him for picks. Well, they can't trade him at all.
Yeah.
His rights are a little, I'm not quite sure what his rights are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the injunction with the lockout that came down today means. I mean, who knows what that's going to mean in the next couple of days with the rest of the NFL filing the appeal of the ruling and the lockout and whatnot. So I'm not even going to get into that at this point. I think it's just best to assume that we're not trading players for picks for now, and then we'll go from there. So yeah.
Actually, this is a good general topic, and that might actually be something that applies to the Packers here in this situation. I'm thinking that I saw a mock draft that had trades in it, and all the trades were kind of, like trade a third round pick to move up five spots. Nothing real earth shattering.
Yeah.
But, I could see it the other way. I could see a team going, thinking, I'm going to make a move here in the draft, and I'm going to trade, my second, my third, and my fourth or something to make a real big move here or something in the first round, because there's going to be all these free agents coming out when the free agency starts.
Right. Figure you can get some role players and things in free agency, whereas you make the big splash with a big draft pick.
Right. Yeah, you can get third, fourth round quality guys in free agency, and there's probably going to be enough competition that guys are probably going to be a little bit, and it's a shorter free agency period.
Yep.
That these guys are going to have to jump faster.
Mm-hmm.
If they get an offer in hand, they might just have to take it and think about that later. And just make sure they don't end up in the Arena League or anything.
Right.
And so I could really see, not every team's going to do that. But I could see a couple teams really thinking, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Redskins or something like that, a team that's usually aggressive in free agency anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if the Redskins feel like they need, they need a playmaker on the outside, I could see them making a trade, trying to jump into the, that 4-5-6 area, snagging either AJ Green or Julio Jones in there. So it'd be, there's so many unknowns right now that it's difficult to kind of figure out what anybody's going to do, let alone a somewhat unpredictable guy like Ted Thompson, the way he's, held his last couple of drafts.
Well, I don't think you don't think he's going to make a big move, do you?
I don't think so, but I didn't think he was going to in 09 when he jumped up and got Clay Matthews either. So.
Well, that's true. I didn't think so either.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was completely out of character.
Exactly. So I'm not ruling anything out here.
Mm-hmm.
But
But what do you think about them trading down from 32?
That would not shock me in the least, honestly. If they could find the right suitor, I think there's going to be a couple of teams looking for quarterbacks at the end of the first round. You could have guys like Andy Dalton and Christian Ponder out there that that are pretty highly thought of by some of those the bad teams from last year, that if they don't get the quarterback they're looking for in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them. I could see one of them trying to jump up. Maybe get an early to middle second round pick, and then maybe a third round pick out of that. And I think that would be, while it would be a little bit of a letdown with for the fans with us being the last pick in prime time on Thursday.
Yeah, that's true.
Ultimately, if there's nobody that Thompson really likes there at 32, I wouldn't fault him one bit for wanting to move down there.
Yeah, for what it's worth, because nobody has an insight into Ted Thompson, what he's thinking right now, the outside of the organization, that I think he's going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there is going to be a player. I mean, a little bit like last year when was Brian taken?
23, I think.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, there was talk about him before the draft, being potential, top 10, top 15 pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of kept slipping for whatever reason, and finally, obviously he found that fit there with us.
I get the feeling someone is going to fall that he mm-hmm. likes. I'm not quite sure who that's going to be, but
yeah,
I could see that. I think I was looking at the results of the Jordy Nelson trade, and it wasn't really, It wasn't fantastic. I mean, it was a fair trade. Really, just the other players involved or other picks involved just turned out to be kind of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a swap of Dustin Keller for Jordy Nelson,
yeah.
which On its own merits is not probably is a decent trade.
Right.
Paying a little bit for less for Nelson and get a wide receiver versus paying a little bit more for a tight end who's probably a little bit more productive. At least during the certainly during the regular season was more productive.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
And then so actually looking back here at the position, so we talked about offensive linemen. So I think Sherrod is a potential that will fall down. Do you think any of these other guys? I mean, maybe Solder from Colorado would slip down there.
Yeah, I think Solder and Sherrod are the only two of the top tackles that are likely to be there at 32, or that are potentially to be there at 32. I think you figure Karimi, Costanzo, those guys are probably going to go.
Smith, is it Smith?
Yeah, from USC, right.
I'm not those guys paying that much attention to him because I know the Packers have no shot at him.
Right, yeah. You figure those guys are all going to be gone between like 10 and 23, 24. I mean, I was going through a mock draft today and looking, and between like 18 and 24, there's about four or five teams that need help at tackle or at offensive line. So I'd be real shocked if Karimi or – and I'd be a little bit surprised if Solder makes it down to 32, but
I would too. I've seen him get down there, but I don't think he's going to get down there.
Right.
He looks like it's a little bit of a preference thing too. Solder reminds me a little bit of like the Packers sometimes bring in these guys that are like former like tight ends, like Giacomini.
Yep.
Was that type of guy.
Yeah, the real athletic. Offensive lineman.
Well, he's really tall. I mean, well, yeah. I forget how tall he is, but yeah, he's – so I could see them someone having a preference for that type of tackle and whatever blocking scheme a team is in, whereas a guy like Sherrod is really just a bit of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can play left tackle, but they're just – I could see teams kind of looking at them different styles. Well, even Karimi, I never got the impression he was a pancake blocker.
He's got a nasty side to him. He really made his mark obviously in the running game because the Badgers were such a run based offense. So I feel like people didn't give him enough credit for his pass blocking ability, just because it wasn't on display as much as some of these other guys who did work in like a spread offense or more of a pass-based offense. I think the skill set's there, and I think the attitude from Karimi is exactly what you want. I mean, that interview where he came out and he said, I'm the best tackle in this draft. I really like that out of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta believe you're the best if you're coming out that highly, and you gotta have that kind of nasty edge to you.
Oh yeah.
If you're playing left tackle, no question.
Well, just in offensive linemen, I think the Packers liked that when they drafted Sitton. He was a guy that kind of came across a bit nasty, and obviously that's worked out really well. I mean, I guess he can't be just nasty.
Right.
You gotta be able to back it up, but I think that's definitely been a good thing.
Yep.
Just looking at the later rounds, if they don't really hit something in the first round, though, I mean, I can't – they might let that slide for a few rounds. I mean, there isn't
– Right. There's not a whole lot of there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of real decent second, third-round tackle talent out there this year. It seems to be really top-heavy to me.
So guard is a different – or centers, I think, is – well, at the end of the second round, the centers should start coming off the The center from Penn State, Stefan Wisniewski. I think he's just about the top rated one. There might be someone higher than him.
Right. I mean, they're classifying Mike Pouncey technically as a center, but he seems to me to be out of position. He'll probably play guard in the NFL anyway. So,
I'm not sure what he's going to do. I think he wants to play guard.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what he does.
Right. Yeah. Those interior linemen. I mean, Pouncey's the only one I'm seeing with the first round grade. So there's out there to be had in the mid rounds, I think.
Well, Watkins from Baylor is another guy.
Right. Yep.
Actually, I wouldn't even be too disappointed to see the Packers draft him at the end of the first round as a Darren College replacement.
Sure.
That's kind of low on my priority list. I'm not really looking for them to do that at the moment. especially with TJ Lang around the roster. I mean, mm-hmm. he's another possibility.
Right.
But that wouldn't be a bad pick either. So, so I was just checking mocking the draft, and my second round pick, the last one of our mock draft, we just did two rounds with all the writers. So, that's the only one not posted as we speak. So, the Steelers pick just came up.
Okay.
So the guy I ended up going with, I don't know what the guys over at Mocking the Draft, they're probably going to rip me whenever they post the thing on it, but there was a guy from Miami, Alan Bailey, was the guy I picked.
Defensive tackle?
No, he's probably going to be an end because he's like about, I think he can about 275.
Okay.
So, but he's just a heck of an athlete. He's also not a speed rush. He doesn't have doesn't bring a rush off the edge, but I mean, he might even be versatile enough to play outside linebacker. So he could be that outside linebacker candidate, you know, to play opposite. He might be the type of guy that would force Matthews to flip back over to, the weak side.
Weak side.
And then he'd play the strong side since he'd probably have some, at least probably 20 pounds on Matthews.
Right.
And, if he doesn't, then he could be the weak side defensive end. He sounds a little small, 275, but I mean, for everything I read on the guy, that's not an issue. You know, he holds up well against the run. He can hold the edge.
Right. It looks like it's a tall guy too. It looks like he's about 6'6". So.
Oh, is he that tall?
So he could probably put some weight on his frame and fill out a little bit and, slide over inside to end there.
He sounded like a little. I mean, he doesn't have the pass rushing ability of a Cullen Jenkins, but it does sound like he maybe has that potential. If he did have a pass, if he was a pass rusher, he'd be more of an interior pass rusher, not doing what Matthews is doing.
Yeah.
So, but I definitely felt that was a tough spot. I hate drafting second round in the mock drafts. It's all picked over a little bit, and you're like, who the heck would they want at this spot?
Right, right.
And, Mike Neal was completely off my radar last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the Packers drafted him. And I did look
at I'm looking.
Go ahead.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Neal can do here this season. If he gets, if he gets some playing time, gets back healthy, gets back acclimated to the defense in the, over the course of the past season as he was on IR. I think, I like the guy. I think he can really contribute, step in, be a real, real solid player for us.
I guess I'm pessimistic about the health factor. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to, nothing to do about that until he gets back.
Right.
Cause he had a lot of injuries in Purdue as well. I mean, I don't know if that was the reason. I was looking back and when he was projected, I used the NFL draft scout rankings on CBS Sports. I look at those a lot.
Right.
And he was like a fifth round grade Neal had. So he was way out of left field. Actually, C.J. Wilson had a higher grade at their site. He was like a fourth round grade.
Oh.
So, and they got him in the seventh.
Right.
So, I mean, down there, I'm just like, I don't know how this is going to work out.
Just shows you the whole thing is an inexact science, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So.
Well, on the subject of D linemen, there were a couple of guys that I wanted to mention here that might be around there at the bottom of the first round. Cam Hayward has been a popular pick for the Packers and all the mock drafts going out lately. And all my Packers fan friends here in Columbus would be ecstatic to see a Buckeye go to the Pack here at the end of round one. But Hayward's got a nice edge to him. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what wherever he ends up, how he responds to that Tommy John surgery. I can't say I've heard of a whole lot of NFL players, let alone defensive ends, undergoing that kind of surgery. So just curious to see what impact that has on his game.
Yeah, I guess I really wasn't too worried about that. I don't think that I was thinking about like Justin Harrell because he had the the labrum. He's had all sorts of things, but I mean, it just didn't seem like, I didn't think the Tommy John was something that would really affect his power. It's not going to be a legs issue. I guess I'm not too worried about that. You probably actually saw more Ohio State football than I did. I just have been not too, I mean, I think the guy's okay. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't look at him like he's going to be the next Colin Jenkins or, I just sort of see a guy who's, I don't even know. I mean, maybe next Corey Williams. I don't know. I guess I don't think too much of him. I mean, what's your impression of him?
I mean, he would definitely be, you know, my third or fourth, like 3-4 defensive end off the board. I mean, I definitely have like a guy like J.J. Watt and Muhammad Wilkerson, would be definitely a preference, over Hayward.
I'd take Claiborne, I think, over Hayward too.
Mm-hmm.
He always impressed me when I watched Iowa games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another guy who's got a boner that just does not stop.
Yeah. So. Which is why I don't think he's going to be there.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think I'm expecting him to go to Atlanta, I think, at 27. But yeah, I mean, Hayward, I think, can be a contributor, but I don't think he's necessarily going to be – would be an impact player kind of guy.
Yeah. That's what I'm a little bit of afraid of. So.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't mind seeing them trade down into the early second round to grab him if he really was their guy. But,
Well, I kind of see him a little bit similar to, Christian Ballard, the other guy from Iowa, in terms of skill set and that sort of thing. And I think Ballard's a guy you can get at the end of the second round. I would be okay if we get, you know, took a tackler or an outside linebacker here at the top of the first, and if we could snag a guy like Ballard at the end of the second round, I think that might be the way to go, if it's there, obviously. So.
Well, geez, even Ballard, he was another guy I just didn't seem to notice much when Iowa played. Actually, I mean, the guy I was always noticing was Krug.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's like a unrestricted free agent grade.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not a prospect, a draft prospect. Yeah. Maybe he's a late round here. I'm gonna take a look up for him, but I'm just like, God, I don't know if I want that's another guy I'm just kind of on the fence about. He doesn't really.
Yeah, and again, not a guy I would be looking for in the bottom of the first round. So.
But, you know, I guess it's a little part of me is when the draft, it's Ted Shirt. They do a good job. I mean, they find guys I wouldn't have even thought of. And I do think back on Clay Matthews, the whole, when they drafted him, I was like shocked at first. Oh my God.
Well, right. I mean, you got a guy who started for basically one season in college. He came to USC as a walk-on. Just a late bloomer, I guess. What else can you say about that guy?
The more I thought about it, well, at first I was shocked, and then I thought, okay, well, that makes some sense. They really switching to the 3-4 at that time. They really need a player like that.
Yep.
Okay, is this the guy? Yep. And I had no idea until, you know, we actually started seeing him, and like, oh yeah, he is the guy. So. I definitely give them a lot of leeway into finding these types of players instead of us trying to sift through. I don't really know.
Oh, absolutely.
Targeting the right guy. It's like, yeah, they really need this guy, but
right.
I don't know if he's the right guy.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a good segue into linebackers then. I mean, there's three guys that I think we've really been talking about on the site. I mean, Justin Houston out of Georgia is one. Brooks Reed from Arizona is another guy. Mm-hmm. And then Akeem Ayers from UCLA. Mm-hmm. And I could see, you know, all three of them being gone by the time we pick. I could see all three of them, you know, still being there at 32. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I think in that position, it all kind of depends on what happens in the earlier picks.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's left what's left to be picked there at 32.
Well, what's your I've kind of read mixed things. Do you know for sure that Houston, as far as what did he play at Georgia? I mean, was he going back and forth as far as kind of being a down lineman versus is he really playing outside linebacker? What's he?
Yeah, it sounds like when Georgia switched to a 3-4 about a year ago, that's when he switched to an outside linebacker from a defensive end spot. So I mean he's played in a as a 4-3 end and he's played as a 3-4 outside linebacker. So I mean and it definitely sounds like from everything I read on this guy the pass rush ability is there. It's just gonna be a challenge for him to drop back into coverage. So we might see a bit of a learning curve in that facet of the game.
Well, they were willing to let Aaron Kampman drop back in coverage.
And that was my first thought, is kind of comparing it to that situation. So
that they didn't seem to mind, or they I don't know if it's the system they run or what they're asking of the linebackers, but
Matthews doesn't strike me as being a great coverage guy.
No.
So yeah.
Or even like Desmond Bishop, who I think looked a lot better this year in coverage than what I'd seen in the past.
Yeah.
That I think they just don't ask them to, I think they just have to drop back so far and they don't have to worry about what's going on behind them. And maybe that helps them a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the talent we've got in the secondary probably plays a role in that too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't really have to cover. I mean, a guy like Hawk is kind of, who knows how it'll turn out next year. I'm assuming it's going to still be Hawk kind of in the middle of the zone there, in pass coverage. And then, so you got him on one side of you. Yeah. And the linebackers always have a cornerback, to the outside, to the behind them, basically.
Right.
Kind of covering that area. And, so and then yeah, like Woodson's just all over the place looking for the right matchup. So yeah, right. I think there is some help there that does seem to help these guys. Right. So but I remember reading that about Matthews that I think they went through one of the drills and Thompson could Thompson knows linebackers, I mean former linebacker himself.
Right.
And he can see these guys when they can do it. And actually, I think that's a big thing. That's a big help. I don't know if that he said. I know he went to fewer pro days this year than he normally does, but when he stands on the fields with these guys and can see what they can do, I think that is a big part of what he does. So, I remember him a quote something about that reading that with Matthews. Like, yeah, I can see what he can do here.
Yeah.
But so yeah, he's one. The next guy, Reed, I don't know. He still strikes me as a bit of a combine star.
That's kind of the attitude I'm taking too. It just a lot of the things that I've been hearing this guy that his combine numbers and his performance there just doesn't really translate to tape.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have a good friend who's a University of Arizona fan, and I was asking him about him, and he was like, "Who?" I mean, the guy was off his radar a little bit. I mean, he's not a total draft Nick or totally checking out the star rankings on these guys when they're coming in or anything. But there's right. a guy that just had not made a real impact on his memory.
So
that's not a good sign.
Right. Yeah.
But then I've seen clips. I don't know. I guess you can always put together a highlight package for any of these guys. But I've seen a highlight package of Reed, who was just blowing off the edge and getting the sack and going, wow, okay, I can see what right. they're seeing him. He's got just that. He can have that explosive first step. But yeah, maybe he's the next Aaron Maben for all I know. So
yeah, that's. Not something I would look forward to.
No, that's not. So, I'd be really, if the Packers actually selected him, I'd have a lot of belief that the guy's for real because of the record of the organization. But right now, I'm not really advocating for him.
Yeah.
And then, next guy got the list is Ayers there.
Right. Yeah. The guy from UCLA. I mean, and he's not an effective pass rusher too, but you know, his physical numbers aren't that impressive. I mean, he's 6'3", 250-ish, you know, which is probably your ideal, maybe a little on the small side, but you know, plenty good for an outside linebacker in a 3-4. Yeah. But, I mean, he only ran about a 4.8 in the combine. Yeah. You know, not really the kind of speed you want if you're counting on him to get, you know, a quick rush from the edge.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure what kind of pass coverage skills he's got. So it'll be interesting to see if multiple of these guys are there, what direction they go, and you know, what kind of physical attributes they're gonna look at, I guess.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with some of the things that Ayers did, but then reading the negative about him, I wonder if he is a very good outside linebacker, maybe a little bit more in mind for 4.3, but that he just doesn't have that top gear.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the other things I've been seeing about Ayers is that they're talking that he might even project better to be an inside linebacker in a 3-4, you know, where he doesn't have to make those plays on the edge and chase down running backs on the outside and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, it looks we've got enough inside linebackers to field about 4 or 5 teams right now, it seems like.
Right.
So, yeah, but I mean, some of the other guys that I've heard things about, you know, maybe in the later rounds, Sam Acho from Texas, I've heard some good things, and then Dante Mock from Nevada. He was a guy that just put on a show at the combine. So I mean, potentially a guy that you could see, you know, maybe down in the. I mean, he ran a 4.4 in the 40. I mean, he's got crazy speed for a 250-pound guy.
A little short.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd like to see him be a little taller, but hopefully I see he's listed at 6'1". I hope that's not a generous 6'1", but
right.
That'd be a little bit of a concern. Mm-hmm. Definitely has got the speed to spare. So,
yep.
So I did find it interesting that you one of the wide receivers, because I think wide receiver is an interesting position because James Jones is a free agent. Donald Driver did not have a great 2010 season. Injuries were a big factor there. So, I mean, I think it's an interesting position. I really wouldn't be that disappointed to see them draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds if they feel they need it for the depth.
And if the value's there, I mean, if the value's there for a receiver and it's not there for like a, you know, a guy in the front seven, I got no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the best player available strategy has clearly been working for Ted in the last several years. So I'm not one to second guess it at this point.
But one guy you were looking at was Leonard Hankerton.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a top gear, doesn't he?
Yeah, if I remember, I mean, he's got some pretty good speed. I mean, he's coming out of Miami, so all those guys from South Florida are, you know, blazing fast. I mean, look at Sam Shields.
Yeah. But, because I don't think he's a – I wasn't quite sure what else, you know, he's bringing to the table. He might just be a burner. That might be all he really is bringing.
I mean, he's got decent size. I mean, he's about 6'1", 210, something like that. I mean, a real productive senior year at Miami. I mean, 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns, something like that.
Wow.
So, I mean, the production's there. It'd just be interesting to see how that translates.
I mean, you're thinking he's a second. I mean, if the Packers wanted him, they'd have to take him the 64th pick.
Yeah, I don't think he'll fall down past, you know, early third round.
Right.
And I think there's a chance that, that they might have to move up in the second to get him if they really want him.
Because I was looking at, because the other, one of the other guys, I was, you picked the one Boise State receiver, Austin Pettis, and you didn't mention the other one, Titus Young.
Titus Young, yeah.
Who I'm not a big fan of, actually. He looks a little small in college to me.
That was kind of my thought, too.
But he always seems to have a second round grade whenever I look things up.
Yeah.
Which I didn't quite understand. So, I mean, he's about, because he's about Greg Jennings' height. But, I mean, that, the thing I'm looking at is he's at 174.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow. I mean, that's, you know, Ted Ginn size.
Right.
And that didn't work out.
No.
So, I'm just, I don't quite get that one. I actually thought, I don't even know where, Austin Pettis is usually ranked, like, but I mean, he's way down there. I mean, maybe at best a fifth rounder. Consistent.
That's about what I was thinking there. Yeah. But I mean, the guy's got size. I gotta feel like he can play on special teams from what I remember hearing. You know, his speed isn't great, but you know, 4.5, 4.50, 4.56 ish. So I mean, it's not, you know, speed won't be a problem. I mean, he's obviously not going to be a burner like some of these other guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could be a, I think he could be a valuable kind of third slot receiver, possession receiver kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was wondering if I liked him better than Young even. Just straight ahead looking at the two of them. Young was a little bit more productive. So maybe that's a sign that he can just separate better and runs better routes or something. But I was a little surprised about that. Actually, a couple of the other guys. Well, the next guy you mentioned, Jeff Male.
Yeah, I mean, people have been going rounds about Jeff Male and Ben Sensenbacher and some of these guys. In the comments lately, and I really like Male. Partially because of his secondary drills and things. Mm-hmm. I mean, his cone drill and his shuttle drill were phenomenal at the combine. And I mean, again, he's not going to be a guy who's going to give you, you know, 4.3 speed. But you know, if you're looking for a guy who, you know, he's got good hands, you know, he can probably take some kicks back for you. And I think he can, he's quick and shifty. And I think that's, you know, he almost strikes me as almost like a bigger, and I don't want to set the expectations too lofty here, but like a bigger kind of Wes Welker kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Actually, I was going to compare him to Jordy Nelson, who I think Nelson was the same way at the combine, that his 40 time didn't blow anyone away, but it was like the cone drill or something that he really excelled at, showed that he had a quick burst. And, whenever I watched Oregon games, I mean, I was always impressed with him. I mean, he always seemed to know where to go. I mean, I think that's a huge thing for, maybe underrated with some of these receivers. I mean, they can have all this speed, but they just don't quite run to the right spot that they can get open, or they can't, you know, do a little double move to, you know, get that half a step that they need.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think one of his big things is that he's a pretty good route runner. So that's a guy I'd love to see us, you know, target maybe, you know, right towards the end of the draft, sixth, seventh round, something like that.
I've even, you know, a little off your list, just as far as, I mean, I've seen some other guys mentioned. I think the Packers, I don't know if I saw, there was a guy from North Carolina, Greg Little.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw him. Maybe he came in for a tryout with the Packers, and another guy, Cecil Shorts, who played at Mount Union. Just, you know, the Packers were kicking the tires on those guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we're talking like, sixth, seventh round. I mean, compete with Brett Swain type of guys probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, if Jones doesn't come back, you got to figure they got to pick up another receiver somewhere along the line. So.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, yeah, especially they can't really just count on Driver to be there all season again. Because,
right.
If Jones is gone, Driver has injury issues or just starts showing his age, I mean, yeah, they're basically down to Jennings and Nelson.
Yeah.
Which, That's not really deep. I mean,
right. I mean, you'd like to have a third option or a fourth option besides those two and Finley there.
Yeah.
So.
So who else do you want to talk about as far as later round guys?
A couple of the defensive backs that I wanted to mention. Brandon Harris, a guy in Miami that I kind of like, but he'd probably be more of a end of the first round guy.
Probably.
But there's a couple other guys. I think I saw in the mock in the draft that in the second round Pittsburgh took Razi Dowling from Virginia, mm-hmm. who's got ridiculous name, which automatically attracts me to these guys. He's a big guy, real productive in his college career. I think he's got a skill set that can translate pretty well. And then the other guy that I kind of was looking at, in the middle rounds is Chimdi Chekwa from Ohio State. I'm pretty sure he was an All Big Ten first team selection this year.
Well, yeah, but you probably saw that guy a few times.
Chekwa, yeah, I did, and he did he did a real good job, against Big Ten receivers at least. He put up real good numbers at the combine. I mean, I think his 40 was in the 4.3s somewhere.
He seemed to impress me in college.
Yeah.
He's not someone guy I ever see, because the draft is looking for guys, looking for who's the best cornerback after Peterson and I'm not even going to try to pronounce Prince's last name from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Those two guys, yeah, those are the top two guys. And then who's third? I mean, I guess that's just pick your preference. I mean, it could be Harris.
Mm-hmm. Harris, Jimmy Smith. There's a couple of those guys you could probably lump in there.
Well, Smith has got all that baggage.
I wouldn't go near him, but I'm not counting on him going being there at 32 anyway. I figure I think somebody's gonna get him in the mid to high 20s. I think.
Yeah, someone is going to do that. I really do like probably my number third the third corner in the draft. I think is actually Harris.
Yeah,
he doesn't have the size. That's the only thing that's really a knock on him.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have everything else. And then, although I don't really think, I just can't picture them doing a cornerback in the first three rounds. I mean, it's just, where would the guy play? I mean,
mm-hmm. He'd have to beat out, a guy like Underwood or Pat Lee for a roster spot.
At best, general. You're talking the fourth corner. I just can't see them doing that right now.
Right. Yeah, if Chekwa falls maybe into the middle rounds, fourth or fifth round or something like that, I think that might be a good one to kind of pick him up and use him as a project, have him learn from some of these guys for a little while. But yeah, I agree. I'd be surprised if they go that way in the first couple rounds.
The guys I could see more in the third round are like some of the running backs you mentioned. That again, assuming they're getting kind of giving up on Brandon Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Guys like Daniel Thomas, K-State, DeMarco Murray from Oklahoma, Jordan Todman out of UConn. Those are all guys that they were pretty good receivers coming out of college.
Yeah.
So they could kind of slide into that third down back kind of role. I'm not sure on how good they are in terms of blocking, but all three of those guys have. They've been pretty good in the passing game. They've been productive backs, in the running game. And I think if they do decide that they're going to, break terms with Jackson, then one of those guys might be a target there in the middle of the draft.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm not real great. None of the guys, I don't dislike any of them. I don't love any of them. I could see that. So, although, I mean, come on, what do you want? They definitely should like drop a seventh round pick. They're on John Clay or something, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, give somebody a shot.
He's gotta get a shot somewhere. Is he gonna get drafted? Yeah. You think?
I think somebody will take a flyer on him. He was too productive in college for somebody to not scoop him up in the sixth or seventh round.
Mm-hmm. But that's his value.
I think so. I mean, he showed up. He showed up lighter and thought, you know, for the combine, and was his whole key was to show that he could be a little quicker, a little shiftier, a little faster. And you know, he ran his 40 in like 4.8 or 4.9 or something like that after dropping, you know, 20 pounds
for
the combine. So and he's never been a particularly good receiver. He's never been a particularly good blocker. And he's also been the benefit of a great offensive line for the last couple of years. So somebody will grab him, I think, but it won't be until real late.
That just kind of surprises me, since he was such a star coming out of high school that, you know, that's kind of how that's going to end for him.
Well, some of the knock on him is that he wasn't really a hard worker. And I wonder if that's part of it. I mean, it seems like, you know, dropping all that weight for the combine, he at least turned it on when he needed to. But unfortunately, the speed just wasn't there.
As a general draft rule, I have a lot of sympathy for that type of argument too. Because I think back about how I was, you know, not working my butt off when I was 21. Mm-hmm. I would have been an awful draft prospect. I mean, I was not putting in the time. I was like, you know, I would have been trying to master Madden 12. That would have been my
right.
Any of these guys that have a good work ethic, I'm actually kind of impressed with. I mean, it wasn't until later in life. I wonder how many guys that happens to. Like these guys that just were great prospects, didn't work out. Then a few years later, it kind of clicks for them finally. And they right. go, oh yeah. Boy, if I knew what I knew now, I would have been a heck of a player.
Right.
But
you're there.
Anyway.
Right.
So what do you think? What is your feeling on the first round? I'm kind of sticking with what I had come up with before. I am hoping they stay there at 32, and I'm hoping they had the chance to draft Derek Sherrod from Mississippi State.
I think Sherrod would be
tackle or future right tackle, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, I think if Sherrod's there, I think that's a real possibility. I think I also think Justin Houston's a good option there. My feeling is that with so many teams, you know, low in the first round needing tackles, I just got a hunch that Sherrod's going to be gone by then, and
That's why I was totally off of Houston, because I just can't picture him falling down there now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think Houston's the way I'm going to go right now, but again, it all depends on what happens, you know, 20 through 30 is going to have a real big impact on what the Packers do at 32.
I mean, would you think it's worth it to move up a few slots and give up a third rounder to get? Actually, I think, you know what, I think to move up a few spots, I think they have to give up their second rounder, because their third rounder is just too late.
Yeah. So. Right, yeah, I think that's probably the case. And in that case, you better be moving up into the, you know, 22, 23 range, where some of those tackles are going to be. You know, maybe if you get lucky, Karimi falls down there and you jump up, you know, 10 spots and snag him, or Solder, or you know, hopefully, again, I think best case, you know, would be Sherrod falling down to 32, but I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. You think we've got it all?
I think we covered everything we can cover for now. So, if you guys have made it this far in listening to this whole thing, congratulations to you.
Absolutely.
We'll do one of these to wrap up after the draft, and then we'll be looking to start something regular once and if and when the season ever gets off the ground here.
Maybe we'll just start reading judge transcripts, and that'll be if anyone makes it past 2 minutes, they deserve I'll send them a prize of some sort.
There you go.
In that stuff.
All right, well, thanks for listening if you've made it this far, and hopefully we'll be singing the praises of another A-plus draft from Ted Thompson when this weekend is done.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
All right, thanks.